Get Up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. Got to put my
hands up in the air. Josh, there is a lady who has said, hey, if everyone would like to look young forever, if everyone would like the secret to the fountain of youth, then I have that answer.
Mm.
And so everyone understandably has gone, oh my God, this is incredible. And she's gone, here's what I do. Get very dry skin. And so I rub olive oil on my skin sometimes. And then I have a shower. And then it's fantastic. I put a lot of sea salt into like scrubs that she does and stuff to keep her skin very nice and tight and stuff like that. She's going through all these things. She eats tea leaves for whatever reason. I don't know what that, I think that's for inside you so you feel good and look good.
The reason you don't understand what it is because it's all in the pursuit of.
She wants to look. Damn it, actually, yeah.
You stuffed that right up, didn't you?
Well, I just blocked this song out of my mind so very hard.
Come on, mate. There's some great promos for the OC that went to that song.
I did not watch the OC, and you know that. No, she's going, here's 10 easy tricks to... But yeah. The way that they've introduced this lady in this article that she's written is, has said... has said that she is a retired 54-year-old.
Oh,
and I'm like, yeah, that's probably got something to do with why you look pretty stress-free. Yeah, you don't have a crow's feet. You don't have wrinkles because you were retired at 54.
Yeah.
Which is, by any stretch, very young to retire.
Well,
not recently retired either, like retired.
You know, mid-90s, though, that's only a year shy. Remember those ads that used to be like, if you're no longer over 55 and no longer working full-time, join the Australian Pensions Insurance
Agency.
That's
true.
But I don't know what it is at the moment, the actual retirement age. Isn't like 82 or something like that?
I think it's
like,
very late.
It's gone up. Yeah. Like, it's gone up. So, yeah, she's retired. She's loving life, potentially.
I could not begin to describe to everyone how good I would look if I didn't have to worry about work at all. If I didn't have to have a job and I was still getting paid,
mate,
and people were paying me a lot of money to write dumb articles about how good I looked, then I would look amazing.
You've made a lot of assumptions here that she's getting paid to write these articles. The second assumption you've made is that your job is stressful in any way, shape, or form.
I just have to get up
early. The easiest job in the world. And I don't imagine that you would be that different, to be honest.
You don't think so?
But if you had a normal 9-to-5 job, I reckon, not having that on your shoulders anymore would be a huge way to looking fantastic. If you could just spend every morning just casually having some,
strolling around.
I'm picturing some Special K with banana in it and
stuff. Maybe have some granola in the morning.
Oh, God, imagine that. And then just go to the gym casually and then just go for a little bit of a walk with the dog or something like that. Imagine how calm you'd be. Imagine how good your skin would look.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm picturing my skin in this situation.
It's funny.
Glistening.
Yeah. It's funny because I say that, like, I'd look so great if I didn't have to worry about a job, but I'd essentially sleep until midday every day, get up for 4 hours and go back to sleep and somewhere in between there eat fast food and then go to sleep. So I'd probably look worse than I do
I was going
to
say, I'd live a very similar life. It's questionable whether I'd ever see daylight. So, rather than that glistening skin I was just imagining, I'd probably look more like Gollum.
Precious.
Just very greasy.
I'd be saying precious, but that'd be to be the person delivering the pizza to me.
Like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, God, have your pizza, dude. Leave me alone.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Ned, we are launching a brand new game here, almost like a little bit of an experiment, I would say.
Yeah.
And that is to find out if we can guess based off just the job you do on the side. So maybe you're a DJ, maybe you're
a moonlighting job.
Yep, your moonlighting job. Maybe you're a comedian. Maybe I don't know. What do you do that maybe you get a little bit of $100 here, $100 there? But then we're going to try and guess. Tell us the job you do, you moonlight.
Mm.
We're going to try and guess what your 9-to-5 job is.
I promised when we came back from Pink that we'd have some kind of name for this segment.
And we do. No, you go first. You go first.
No. Name. I'd love you to go first because I've actually thought of a couple and I don't think you've thought of any.
Okay, I've thought of one.
Okay.
And I've even got a theme song for it. So okay.
What is it?
It's Can't Find the Moonlight. You're going to try and guess what people do as a moonlighting job.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Sorry, what was the name, though?
Can't Fight the Moonlight.
Can't Fight the Moonlight or Can't Find the Moonlight?
No, Can't Find the Moonlight's pretty good because we're trying to find people's moonlighting jobs.
I had two.
Did either of yours have a theme song?
No, they're just better than yours. Okay. So it's Moonlight Mysteries because you're trying to figure it out. Or the Side Job Census.
We're going with Moon Job Mysteries. Congratulations, you win. Right. Fantastic. Thank that you. Is a much better one, even though it doesn't have a theme song.
And I would
propose that Leanne Rimes beat the theme song for Moonlight Mysteries?
I would argue the Jackson 5's Can't Blame It on the Sunshine, Can't Blame It on the Moonlight.
Right, okay.
Obviously.
Actually, nailed this in every conceivable way.
Yeah.
Daniel is on the line from Tuggeranong right now. Daniel, how are you?
Hey, mate, how you going?
Not too bad, thank you. All right, Daniel, this is a brand new game, brand new experiment. We're trying to guess what you do as your full-time profession based off just your moonlighting job. What do you do on the side, Daniel?
Well, I sing love songs on the weekend and just pretty much just sing at different places and that, yeah.
Oh, you're a singer.
You're a muso.
Yeah, really good. Daniel, you're very good.
All right, we get a guess each. The game here is to obviously beat each other. But, Daniel, this is a very, very interesting job. When was the last time? Oh, no more questions.
That's
questions.
Just pretty much it. Or you can ask a question if you want. I don't think that's a hard and fast rule.
Daniel, are you a carpenter 9 till 5?
No, mate, I'm not.
Okay, all right then. Ned's guess.
Daniel, I reckon you're a computer engineer.
Oh, mate, you're way off.
Oh, damn it. I thought you were going to say spot on. But
Daniel,
yeah, okay.
What do you do?
I'm a concreter.
It's close with carpenter. I got a tradie sense from you, Daniel. I thought maybe you're a tradie that can sing.
Damn it.
Okay, this is hard. You went, but, you know, I was right, just the wrong job. Paul's on the line from Gunning right now. Paul, how are you?
Good, mate, yourself?
Not too bad, thank you.
Very good, thank you.
Paul, what do you moonlight as? What's your side gig?
I am a drift instructor.
A drift instructor, mate.
That's okay. Very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Here's my question to you, Josh, not to you, Paul. Do you think that because he does like car related things, his actual job?
I don't know. I can't answer that for you.
Well, here you go. I'll bite the bullet. Paul, are you a mechanic?
No, I'm not.
All right. That's on me. That's my bad.
Paul, do you sell home theater systems?
No.
Okay, all right. I thought maybe you're the big fan of Tokyo Drift. That's how you got into the drift instructing. I don't know. I didn't understand. Paul, what do you do?
I'm an excavator driver.
Okay. See, this is it. This is impossible.
See, while I like this game, there's literally no way of finding out what they do.
You can't find the moonlight.
I really can't find the moonlight. You're right.
New name in a second.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Ned.
Yeah.
Right now, off the back of this at the Brownlow last night from Jack Higgins winning the goal-kicking medal.
Firstly, my heart's pumping 1,000 minutes per second, so if I screw it up, don't hate on me.
And just from also living with you pretty much, I would like to know mispronounced sayings.
Yeah.
Things that you mispronounce. Ned does it all the time. Jack Higgins had a pretty famous one last night.
Yep.
I'd love to know, what's the saying you've just been getting wrong? We've got Luke on the line from Queanbeyan. Luke, how are you?
Good, thanks yourself, boys.
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks,
good, thanks,
mate.
Luke.
Now, Luke, what is a saying you've just been getting incorrect?
So it wasn't me that was getting incorrect. It was my sister, and it's the saying to say, the scapegoat.
And what was she saying?
So what she said, we were younger and we were being attacked by magpies on our bicycles, and she said, you go out there and get attention. You be the escape goat.
The escape goat. Oh, that is tremendous.
The escape goat
and
honestly
that makes sense.
More sense.
It's like the goat that escaped from the paddock. Oh, wow.
Well, what even is escape? Like, not escape. What is, like, a scapegoat? What is a scapegoat?
That's honestly an English question I can't answer.
Because a scapegoat to me makes sense because escape isn't a word that I understand, but scape is nothing to me, surely. Is that, do you know what it is, Luke?
I'm not actually sure. I know how the sentence works. When it's used, but as for the actual what is a scapegoat, I have no idea.
That's the thing, and
I'm just reading the definition for scape right now, and it's the basal segment of an insect's antenna.
That doesn't make sense. You know what, Luke? I'm going to say right now on this morning show, your sister was right this whole time.
It is a scapegoat. Fantastic. Thank you very much for the call, Luke. Alex is on the line from Gungahlin. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Not too bad. What is the saying that you've been hearing wrong, getting wrong, or is it someone you know?
Well, everyone in our family has just been saying it for so long now, and I didn't kind of realise until I was 12 that we were saying the wrong thing. Instead of calling it a dressing gown, we just called it an up-down.
A what?
An up-down instead of a dressing gown.
An up-down.
Yeah. That's just you guys being like, well, we're not going
to. We've invented our own name for this.
Yeah. That's if I just started calling bananas like, you know, Schlubels or something.
You know the funniest thing about this is that was the word Ned could come up with.
Schlubels.
I didn't mind that. That was my bad.
Schlubels.
But the thing I actually don't mind about this, Alex, is that this is something I've heard before. I've heard other people call dressing gowns up downs. So
really?
I don't think this is unique to your family. Certainly, I'm not getting around calling them that.
Mad.
But I've heard other people do it. So you might not be alone.
It's so much much more simple, though.
Yeah, it is nice. And it's good to teach the kids, too.
Is it because it's up? Like, it's very easy to throw on and very easy to throw off? Like, it's an up and down? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't my word, so.
The funniest thing about this, too, is it's actually a better name for it because there's nothing dressing or gown-like about a dressing gown.
It's not very informal.
It's not a very dressy item of clothing, and it also looks nothing like a ball gown. So I like up-down. It's good.
104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
A list has come out of the top 10 songs that Canberra streams on Spotify. Absolutely fantastic list. Happy to see it, but not a lot of stuff on there that's a massive surprise. Number one, 5 Seconds of Summer, Youngblood. Number two, Drake, In My Feelings. Number three, Dean Lewis, Be All Right.
Right.
Canberrans can't get enough of that. Look, that's the list. That's the top 10. Look, not the whole lot, obviously, but that's the top three of the top 10.
Yeah, yeah,
pretty
cool.
Stock standard. You're sitting there going, that's the stuff I'd expect to see there.
Bit of Drake, bit of Five Sauce, bit of Dean Lewis.
Another list that's come out that is actually just phenomenal is the top 10 most distinctive stream songs by Canberra residents,
yep.
Which means that it's different to the rest of Australia's top 10s.
Oh, cool. So this is just for Canberra
these
as opposed
songs
to everywhere
that
else.
We are loving that they're not loving as much everywhere else.
Okay.
Number one.
Yep.
Aussie artist Small Rat. Song's called Groceries.
Rapper.
Yep.
Australian rapper.
There you go. Ariana Grande's in there.
Yeah.
With the song we don't play that often on the station.
Breathing. Very good song, though.
Angus and Julia Stone. Chateau.
Of course.
Is in there at number five.
Yeah.
This is no particular order.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Mraz comes in at number nine with this ditty. So bit of an old song, and we're apparently still loving that in terms of number nine on the list. So there you go.
This song would not be on... Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Speaking of old songs, coming in at number seven...
Number seven is...
A song that I think I could probably have put there myself with my own streams, just by myself. Oh,
when I make a Spotify playlist... Doesn't really matter what kind of playlist it is. It can be rap. It can be like hip hop. It can be anything, really.
Mm.
Toto's always in there. We'll be in Africa, a bit Roseanne.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Aren't Toto coming to Canberra?
No, I think they're doing Falls Festival, aren't they?
Yeah, but I thought they were going everywhere.
No, I think Foreigner's coming to Canberra, which is very exciting as well. If you love your 80s music, if you love your Grand Theft Auto Vice City soundtrack, that's just as exciting.
Exactly.
Oh, mate.
Of course,
honestly,
Toto.
I think we have to take, you and I, because Toto Africa is one of our favourites, I think we have to take some responsibility for that being at number seven.
You think it's you and I?
I use Spotify a lot, and I know you do as well, and I've got to say...
It's my Saturday pump up song. If I'm having a shower and I'm like, I need to get ready to go out, I need to like get in a good mood, always Africa.
Do you sing like I bless the rains down Africa while you're under the water?
Yeah.
Like while you're under
of course.
It feels like you're in the rains?
And for whatever reason, my apartment doesn't have hot water, so it actually does feel like rain. So
it's actually fantastic. Producer Maddie, however, if he had his way, this would be his Toto song.
Also a fantastic Toto song.
He thinks it's superior to Africa.
Well, he's wrong, but it's good.
Look, I actually...
You like this song?
Look, I don't know. I think they're about exactly the same.
Roseanne is also a very good song that no one really gives credit.
Yeah, I won't hear that.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
This morning, we're taking calls on 131060. Your little cousin Abe went into his house and said to his mum, I was just playing in the paddock with my friend.
Yeah.
Nobody out in the paddock except for a scarecrow.
And then she was like, what do you mean you were playing? And she was like, oh, I was just throwing rocks at it.
Oh, that's less creepy. Yeah, right. There we go.
It was not like a possessed scarecrow. Yeah. His idea of playing with a scarecrow was just seeing if he could ruin it.
But his mum was momentarily freaked out
of course.
The news that he was playing with a scarecrow. And with that in mind, we'd love to take your calls this morning. 131060, are you a parent? And what's the kind of creepiest thing your kid has ever said to you? Got you a bit on edge.
Yep.
We've got Elliot on the line from Moncrief. Elliot, how are you?
Good, mate.
Fantastic. Now, what was the thing that your kid said that just put you a bit on edge, Elliot?
Yeah, it wasn't my kid. It was my mate's kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we could hear this scuttling up in the roof. And she turned around and she goes, that's the man in the roof. And I said, what? There's a man in the roof? So anyway, I went up and had a look. And I couldn't see anything, pitch black. And I'm having a look and I could still hear the scuttering around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a possum right behind me.
Oh, okay, yeah. That is
possessed
scary.
Possum?
Yeah,
no, just normal.
Just regular possum.
Yeah, right. So the man in the... Yeah, so look, honestly, in terms of what I was scared of as a kid, she's handling that very well. Because if I thought there was a man in the roof, I wouldn't have been able to sleep. And she's just like, yeah, no, that's just Jerry. Yeah. He lives in the roof. It's fine.
He lives here rent-free, yeah, which is honestly pretty of a rip-off to mum and dad.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Sarah's on the line right now. How are you, Sarah?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic. Now, is it your kid that's freaking you out?
Yes, she was not really freaking me out, but kind of knowing what to say at the right time is probably more like it.
Right. So what happened?
So in the shopping mall, going up the escalator, and there was a really, really large guy in front of us.
Yeah.
And she turned to me, and George is her name, and mm-hmm. said, "Hey, Mum, that guy's really fat. He's going to die soon."
Wow.
Wow.
Did the guy hear it, Sarah?
Sorry?
Did the guy hear her say that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that poor guy.
You know, he probably can't help it, but...
No.
That's the thing.
Well, kids just have no filter. That's the thing. Like, they don't mean anything by it. They just have no filter whatsoever.
At the end of the day, it's a very valuable life lesson.
Yeah,
just like, you can think things about people, but you certainly shouldn't
say them out loud. Yeah, that's
especially
it.
To their faces. Yeah.
Oh, I feel so bad for that guy. Apparently,
I feel bad for Sarah.
I feel bad for Sarah too, but I feel bad. Apparently, I did a lot of that sort of stuff when I was a kid. I just was very open with what I was thinking, and that was Mum was in trouble a lot of the time for things I'd just say. So Rachel's on the line right now from Watson. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Rachel. Thank you, Rachel. Now, I understand your niece said something to freak you out.
Yes. So I used to spend a lot of time at my sister's house, and every morning my niece would come to us and tell us the weather.
Mm.
And we'd go, how do you know that? And she would tell us that the little stuffed animal snowman in the back room told her the weather every morning. But... it was accurate was the scary part.
Oh, my
scary.
God, another one of them then.
That is very scary.
Yeah, that is very, very unnerving.
Or it's like when an old lady goes, "Oh, it's going to rain today. I can feel it in my bones."
Yeah, maybe she had that as like as a young kid.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That is very creepy. But also extremely convenient. Yeah. So keep the snowman around. I think that's going to be very handy. Yeah.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer, mej.com.au.
But Ned.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of video going around at the moment from the new documentary that's going to be on the Queen. She's been writing for a long time. They're doing a documentary about all the things Lizzie gets up to.
Is this the thing that they, like, Meghan Markle's been making all the news about? Even though it's not about her.
It's not about her.
She was just like, remember when I got married? And we're like, yeah, it happened a couple of months ago.
It's pretty recent.
Yeah.
Look, we are right now getting all little bits of trinkles of information from the documentary itself.
Yep.
And one of the videos that's doing the rounds at the moment is of the Queen recording a radio message.
Okay.
So she's sitting at a desk. She's got a little microphone in front of her. There's a sound guy. He's basically going through the whole thing with the Queen.
Yeah, well, he's got it. She doesn't know anything about... She was around before this technology probably existed, so she's...
It's not true, but that's fine.
It's offensive,
it's not true, but that's fine. And so the sound engineer has basically said to the Queen, "We need you to do it again." Reason for that being...
Yep.
The very unroyal distraction of a bird outside the window. Just chirping.
Was it a magpie?
No, that was not even a chirp. That was the sound of a Morse code machine. But literally just this bird chirping its head off outside the window. The sound guy's given her a bit of, "Can we take this again?" She's gone from the top of page two, and he's gone, "No, the whole thing." Mm. And then she laughs, and she does it again. And
the nerve on that guy.
The video says that the Queen's laughing at the bird. The Queen is not laughing at the bird. Yeah. The Queen is laughing at the guy that's asked her to do the whole thing again. Like, geez, you've got a set up, don't you? I normally lock people away for this kind of stuff.
And honestly, I'm feeling good today, but any other day, I'd have your head for this kind of stuff.
She's clearly laughing at the guy asking her to do it again. But, this is the thing. I would like to say that the Queen clearly wasn't thrown by this distraction. The sound guy saying, "You know what, it's in the background. It's going to distract
sounds
people listening."
Dodgy.
She wasn't distracted.
Mm.
And so now I'd like to see... As a broadcasting professional, obviously I haven't done as much broadcasting as the Queen. She's been doing speeches for years.
Mm-hmm.
Could I go through a speech from the Queen without being distracted by not a bird, but by you, Ned? How hard you try, could I get through a speech of the Queen's in a Queen voice? I'll do the voice.
Yeah.
Without being distracted by you.
Sure. What am I? Am I limited to anything or I'm just allowed to
go? I'd like you to start with some bird calls because I feel like that was what the Queen was initially not thrown by. And then you can work up to pretty much anything you'd like after that.
I don't think I'll need to get past bird noises, to be honest.
Okay.
That's how easily I think you're distracted.
Look, I don't want to go with a recent speech from the Queen. I'm going to go with the Queen's Christmas message from 1992.
Good year.
A year after I was born. Let's see if she mentions me. Are you ready to go?
I'd be very excited to see if she mentions you a year after you were born.
Yeah, you're right. I probably would have been the 1991 speech. Good point.
Yeah, that's
now, I've got the 92 one. Here we go.
That's what I meant.
Your chance to distract me starts right now. This year, I'm speaking not to you from Buckingham Palace, but from Sandringham, where my family gathers every year for Christmas. My great-grandfather, King Edward the VII, Roman numerals are hard, makes Sandringham his country home in 1862. And it was from this house, stop tickling me, that my grandfather, King George the V, and my father... Stop! Stop!
I'm just dragging...
You're choking me!
I'm dragging you away from the mic. Is this distracting enough?
Is this too distracting?
That's choking, I guess.
Okay, so that actually probably would throw the Queen. Yep, I would say so. If Prince Philip came in from another room and started tickling her while she was trying to record, yeah, I think she'd be thrown.
I'd say that was mission accomplished, to be honest.
Still didn't fold under the bird calls, though. So
you did,
good.
Yeah, that was
terrible
very good.
Bird calls, mate.
104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you have been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
We are in the middle of the tattoo game.
That's right. It's a game where you give us a call if you've got a tattoo on 131060. Then we hear what the tattoo is. Then with psychic ability, we guess exactly where the tattoo is.
Jared from the Hit Squad is in the room with us as well. Jared, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, boys?
The reason great, we've mate. Got you back in is because you've finished your delivering pies, but you're also a very heavily tattooed gentleman. You've got a lot
I'm
of tattoos.
I'm a canvas.
Yeah, you've got a tattoo yourself. So the question I have to you is, do you want to help us with the tattoo game this morning?
Oh, mate, I'd love to.
Because you and I don't have tattoos at all.
We don't have tattoos at all. So you are the one that has a unique insight into...
I'm a veteran.
Okay, so you won't use psychic ability. You'll use experience.
Educated guess.
Yeah, you'll use experience.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. First call, and do not forget, this is all thanks to tatsontatsoff.com. Not your average tattoo studio. Jake is on the line from Palmerston. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Now, here's the question, Jake. Can we get a bit of a description of your tattoo and then the three of us are going to try and tackle it this morning?
All right. It's a Day of the Dead girl with long hair.
Okay.
A Day of the Dead.
Yeah, like the
like zombies and stuff like that. Have you got an idea?
Yeah.
I kind of do.
Ned's got psychic ability happening on his side. Here we go.
Jake, well, this is going to be disappointing if I get it straight up because we've brought Jared down here to
be. That's fine. if he's not needing his experience to come into it, that's honestly the best case scenario, isn't it?
Jake, is this on your forearm, mate?
Bingo, mate.
No, he's done it.
I've worked under pressure.
There we go.
Like a diamond in the rough.
Congratulations to you, Ned, for your psychic ability this morning. And actually, Jake, you know what? Congratulations to you. You've just won a $100 voucher to Tats On, Tats Off. Well done.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks, boys.
No problems, mate. Thank you very much for the call. Now, Shannon's on the line from Amaru. Shannon, how are you?
I'm well this morning. How are you, lad?
Oh, not too bad. Thank you very much. Now, let's get a description of your tattoo, please.
Okay. I have two birds in flight. And in the centre, written in Gaelic, is to kill two birds with one stone.
Okay. Mm.
It's quite grim.
Those birds won't be in flight for much longer. All right.
I think we should let Jared, because we brought him down, we should let Jared guess first.
Okay, good, because my psychic reading is not going off it's at off, all for this. So, Jared, you use your experience of being a heavily tattooed gentleman.
This is something I've definitely considered getting myself, so...
That exact tattoo?
No, not at all. But it sounds beautiful. I'm feeling the back, you know, the upper back.
Upper
you know?
Back?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Upper back, Shannon, is that where it is?
You know what? That's correct.
Oh my God!
We've done it!
Two for two! Oh, using psychic ability and experience this morning to go 2 for 2 with the tattoo game.
You need to prove yourself somehow now.
No, we won. As a show, we won. That's absolutely fantastic, Shannon. Thank you very much for the call this morning. And thank you, Jared, for doing my job for me this morning. I appreciate that, mate. Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
That is the end of this morning's show. We are going to be back tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. You know what? Coming up next, we are getting straight into a massive day here on HIT. It's going to be awesome. We are doing One Hit Wonder Day.
Yeah.
And we are kicking it off with one of the biggest One Hit Wonders
in recent memory. Wait a minute. Does this sound familiar at all?
Open Gangnam Style.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there you go.
I remember that. I was alive 3 years ago.
100%. I went to Future Music Festival when he was there, and I think he did Gangnam Style 5 times.
He knows what people want.
He knows what people want. Sai is coming up next to kick off One Hit One today. You have a fantastic Tuesday, Canberra. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.